When I was over in Pakistan, I decided that I needed to preach John chapter 9, but I didn't know how and how to make it different night to night. The last night that we ministered there, we went up to Islamabad, which is the capital, and even as we had left our host home and was making the five-hour drive to the capital city, I was still praying and trying to figure out exactly how I wanted to preach this passage or this story. And then suddenly this picture came into my mind, is the best way I know how to put it. And Tori, if you can put up that, I don't know if you got it on there or not, but I did a slide, a picture similar to this come in my mind of a man sitting outside of the gates of the temple. When you look in John chapter 9, you see a man that was born blind, and he was sitting where Jesus passed by. He had been begging all of his life. We know that he was of age because his parents said that you can go talk to him about it. So, and just leave this up if you can. I started thinking about this and what this meant, and then coming into my mind was victory in Jesus. I heard an old story about how a Savior came from glory. And I'm thinking about this man, and surely he had been sitting there because Jesus' ministry was only about three and a half years. So even if this is at the very end of the ministry, this guy would have been sitting there begging when Jesus was starting his earthly ministry. That he was outside of the temple tells me that he was a man of faith, that he knew where he could go to find help. I believe a lot of us are that way. We know where we can go to find help. We come into the church house. We come outside the gates of the temple. We go to where we know Jesus is going to pass by. But he would have been sitting there, and he would have heard that old story that John the Baptist would have told about this man named Jesus that walked down to the Jordan River, and he looked at him and he recognized that this is the Son of God, the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sin of the world. He would have heard that old story as he sat there and he held out his cup waiting for another penny, waiting for another piece of wage to help him make it through the day. He would have heard the story. He would have heard the story about how that same Lamb of God came, and then he went out and he started finding disciples and apostles to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He would have heard about the call of Peter and Andrew and James and John. He would have heard the story about how these 12 men knew that this was someone special, that this was the Messiah. He would have heard the story as he simply sat by the temple and begged. No doubt he would have still been sitting there at the temple when Jesus attended a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus would have went to Cana, and we have the great clarion call on how to be a disciple. Mary, the mother of Jesus, give the best words of advice that has ever been given. Whatever he tells you to do, that you go do. And they did, and Jesus turned water into wine, and the best wine indeed, for the end of the ceremony, and it was just unusual and remarkable in every possible way. But even as Jesus was doing that and his fame began to spread and the story started being told, then this same beggar man sitting outside the temple gates would have heard that old story about how Jesus had power even over the little things to be able to turn them into something good and powerful. No doubt he would have also been sitting there when Jesus came by the temple the first time. When you get to the end of John chapter 2, you see that Jesus goes to the temple and he cleanses the temple. He chases out those that are doing things they shouldn't be doing. We'll just put it at that. So this man would have been sitting by the temple and not only heard the old story, but even been there at part of it. He wouldn't have seen it, but he would have been there and heard the commotion for himself instead of just relayed. He would have heard Jesus being in the temple. He would have heard the old story. So many times we come in and we're in the right place and Jesus is passing by, so we think it is the right time. And no doubt this man would have had those same kinds of notions, hearing that it was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It was the Messiah that is calling disciples and sending out 12 to match the 12 Old Testament tribes, that has turned water into wine. Now he is here, and surely it is my time to be able to get what I need. But no, he just become part of the old story. So many times I believe we're that way. We come in, we're in the right place. We feel like it is the right time, and Jesus has passed by and he does something for someone else, and still we are sitting here and we are listening to the old story. Jesus had went on, and Nicodemus come to Jesus and talk to him in the middle of the night, and Jesus revealed that he was the chosen one of God that has come so that we may have eternal life. And surely this same old story made its way back to this beggar man sitting outside of the temple gates. Jesus continued his ministry. Even as Nicodemus came and talked to him and went on his way, Jesus left and he went through Samaria, and this woman came up to the well. Jesus sat down and had a conversation with her and talked to her and revealed to her everything that she had ever done, everything about her past, and sent her on the way to be really a remarkable evangelist and win her entire community to the cause of Jesus Christ. Still, this man is sitting by the temple, and he starts hearing how Jesus is breaking barriers. Not just is he making miracles happen and taking control over the small things, but he's breaking barriers and revealing himself to be the I am that I am from the burning bush and from other Old Testament texts. He's still sitting by the temple, and he's still hearing the old story. Jesus leaves the woman at the well, and he heals the nobleman's son who is nearing death. And he finally tells him that your kid's going to live, just go on back home and everything's going to be okay. So now, not only does Jesus have power over the little things and substance in our life, not only does Jesus have the power to reveal that he is the Messiah, the I am, the chosen one of the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not only can he pick disciples and do all of these other things, but now he also is exhibiting power over life and death and over sickness. And still this man is sitting by the gate. He has heard the old story. He's heard everything that Jesus has done. How do I know that? Because we see people in and out of the temple, and we find it even in John chapter 7, where they come into the temple and they are discussing Jesus at that point. They are talking about all that he has done, so we know that Jesus' fame has spread, and even there at the temple where this man is sitting, we know that he is hearing the things going on. He has heard repeatedly the old story about the Savior that has come from glory to bring victory. But yet he's still sitting there, even as the nobleman's son is healed and there is a lame man by the sheep's pool that has been there for 38 years. An entire generation crippled, waiting for someone to be able to put him into the pool that is disturbed. And yet here's this blind man sitting somewhere in the same vicinity since birth with no one to help him, waiting on Jesus to pass by. But he keeps hearing the old story about how that man just across town has gotten touched by Jesus. 38 years, so there's still hope for me. He heard the old story of how that man was able to take up his bed and walk away for the first time. No doubt he also heard a story of how when Jesus left from doing that, he went out to sit down and teach and to disciple people, and they just simply didn't have enough food. They had 5 loaves and 2 fishes and 5,000 people. So now He starts hearing this old story, not just about how Jesus is over life and death and over the little things in life, but He is also our provider day to day, that He is our bread of life. He hears the old story about how Jesus took these 5 loaves and 2 little fishes and turned it into enough to feed the multitudes with extra left over. He's still sitting outside the temple gate, but he's hearing the old story. Now, we're the same way. We hear the old story and we keep coming. We keep waiting for Jesus to pass by. But friend, don't lose hope. He's passed by before. He's going to pass by again. Amen. He has not forgotten you. He knows your situation. Just tarry. Keep waiting. He is going to pass by again. After he fed the 5,000, surely fame spread out about Jesus and how he walked on water. He's got power even over nature. You see, sometimes your faith has to grow in your walk. I'm not saying you're not saved, but sometimes your faith isn't mature. Right? I'm guessing the first time that Jesus passed by the temple and this blind man is sitting outside the gate, his faith wasn't as strong. He hadn't heard as many stories. He hadn't seen as much done. You see, the first time that Jesus passed by, all he had heard about was water into wine and calling some disciples and that type of thing. Well, now all of a sudden he's also got power over life and death, and he's got power over illnesses, and he can control nature, and he can walk on water, and he can do all of these other things. And this old story has strengthened his faith. We need these old stories to strengthen our faith. We can't rest on them. They're not going to get us into heaven. But I promise you that the testimony of those that have went before us, those that have seen the miracles of Jesus Christ, those that can tell us about what God has done for them will strengthen my faith when He comes back by. It's not enough sometimes to know that He can turn water into wine. Sometimes I need to know that He can heal someone near death. Sometimes I need to know He's got power to walk on water. I need to know that He can call people and send people, and that He can do anything that He wants to do, because He is now revealed as the I Am. Now Jesus is getting ready to pass by again. You see, He's coming back to the temple in John chapter 7. Y'all really should be really familiar with this story by now. Like all of it, as long as we've been in John and as much as I preached it, you should know this sermon as good as I do. Jesus is coming by again. And that same man that heard the commotion the first time he was there, that same man that heard the old story about how he turned water into wine and how he walked on water and how he fed the multitudes and how he healed the nobleman's son, how he talked to the woman at the well and revealed himself and all of these things, now his faith is greater. Jesus is in the temple and we see him discussing, and he's trying to talk to them and tell them that he is indeed the one that they are looking for. You see, we come here time after time looking, do we not? We come into this house looking to encounter the Christ, the Son of the living God, the resurrected Savior. Jesus tries to tell us that's exactly who He is. He did that in the temple, and yet in the temple, they rejected Him. I'm going to spare you all those details because all of that's introduction. I've still got 3 points to go through. They're short points, don't worry. You see, there's 2 places that talks about Jesus passing by. When you look at the end of John chapter 8, Jesus has revealed himself. And make no mistake, it's not just this beggar, this blind man sitting outside the gate that has heard the old story, that has heard about this Savior that has come from glory, that can heal, that gave his life on Calvary to set me free. It's not just him that has heard, it's also the ones in the temple. They have heard all of the same stories. They have seen all of the same miracles. They have encountered all of the same people. But at the end of chapter 8, they took up stones to cast at him. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. That's the end of John chapter 8. You see, I told you when I started, there's victory in Jesus, but you have to decide whether you're going to accept it, walk in it, or whether you're going to reject it and walk away from it. You see, all of you have heard the old story about this Savior that came from glory. All of you have heard all of the miracles of the Bible. You have been preached to time after time. I don't know what other ministers have preached to you over the years, but I know what I've preached to my people here, and you've heard the whole counsel of God and what God can do and how He wants you to be saved and experience heaven. The choice is yours of whether you want to accept the victory or walk away from it. It was the same here. Because it's not just the lame, the blind that has heard the story. It's also the righteous in the church house. Jesus passed by again. Not did he only pass by at the end of 8, but look at the first verse of John chapter 9. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, this blind man that had been sitting outside the temple gates, for all of those other miracles, for all of the ministry of Jesus, now finally Jesus was passing by again." When Jesus passes by, things can change. When Jesus passes by, if you will grab a hold of what He has for you, you can indeed find some victory in Jesus Christ. There is no one like Him. There is none that can do for you what He can do. You just simply need to rely on your faith that has been built through that old story that has been told to you Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. And if you listen to other preaching through the week, then that's good sometimes. Your Bible that you should be reading every day, that old story should have your faith built up so that when Jesus passes by, that you can receive what you need from Him. Now that old story should bring you to the point where you can receive. That's point number one. You see, the people in the temple rejected Jesus as He passed by. He passed by them and they said, "We don't want what He has." I don't know why. It's like Brother Stanley was relating when he lied and said he didn't want to pray. I understand what you're saying, brother. I've been there. You want to, but you don't want to, and you don't know what to do, which way to turn, how to get to where you want to go. And I believe those in the temple were that way. We see that in Nicodemus. He says, "Hold up, maybe we need to wait a minute and evaluate what's going on here." He didn't give a haste answer, but ultimately, they rejected Him, but now He passes by this man which was blind from his birth. This man received what God had for him. Tonight, if you want victory in Jesus, the first thing you got to do is receive it. You have to receive what God has for you. Because God went over and He spat on the ground and He made clay of the spittle and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And He said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. You see, Jesus is here. I believe, I'm just naive enough to believe that His Holy Spirit is drawing everyone to get what they need from Him. Because that's the nature of God. He don't want us to do without. He don't want to see His seed begging bread. He don't want us to walk away without being covered by the blood. He wants good for His people. I am naive enough to believe that Jesus Christ is passing by tonight. He just simply wants us to come and receive what He has for us. But we have to move. This guy could have sat in his spot and not listened to the instruction of Jesus Christ, and he would have never received his sight again. And who knows if he would have got that third opportunity? I don't know. I know Jesus had already passed by once. Now He's passing by again and He's stopping. And He tells him what to do. So what the guy done was he went his way, therefore, and washed. He listened to Jesus. He received what Jesus told him. I don't know what you've got going on. I don't know what battle you may be facing. I don't know what God may be speaking to you. But what I know for a fact is that you need to listen to what God is telling you. Amen. Make sure it's God, because sometimes it's not the thunder, it's not the rain, it's not the lightning, it's not the earthquakes, it's the still small voice. But I promise you, the devil will scream much louder and try to get you off track. Make sure it's God, but if you're sure it's God, you better listen. And if you will listen, then you can receive, because after he went and washed, he came seeing. You see, you have to receive, you have to accept, you have to walk in what the Lord has for you. That's step number one, is to receive. You've heard the story, you've seen the power, now receive the Savior. But now the next part is you have to acknowledge what he has done for you. This ain't going to win me any fans, and that's okay. You can come up to this altar and pray. And you can walk out of here and then never tell a soul. And someone asks you about Jesus and this and that and the other, and you never confess with your mouth that you have given your heart to the Lord, I'm probably not going to see you in heaven. Now, look, I told you it's not going to win me any fans. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, your faith, I don't know where we have gotten this idea, this notion that our faith is supposed to be private and personal. No, our faith is supposed to be lived out in public. We are supposed to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. We are supposed to go and tell the world that Jesus is the one that saves. We are supposed to let people know that we are called out, set apart, that we are different, not just in our words, but also in our actions. We are supposed to lift our voice. You know, I can't imagine that this guy that has said and heard this story, and Jesus has passed by, and finally Jesus passes by specifically for him. Could you imagine being quiet after all that happened? Thank God he wasn't, because we've got a great story and I've got this sermon I can tell you tonight. But he answered and he said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and I received sight." When they asked him why he was different, he opened his mouth, he lifted his voice, and he said, "There was this man named Jesus." You don't have to know everything about Jesus. You don't have to know all the theology. You don't even have to have read all of the Bible yet. But if you have come and confessed Jesus Christ and he has touched your life, the best thing you can do is say, "I don't know. I don't understand it all. All I know is I encountered a man named Jesus and I am forever changed. I don't know what has happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why he done it, but I was blind and now I see." We need to acknowledge what God is to us. But it's not just there, it's down in verse 25 also. Because they kept on after him. When you change, when you get in touch with the Lord and something happens in your life and you change, and all of a sudden your drinking buddies ain't your drinking buddies anymore. The ones that you used to snort some coke with ain't your buddies anymore, because you don't do that stuff anymore. The people you used to run around with just aren't appealing to you anymore. They will badger you to death for a season. They will try to make you fall because you have found something that they don't have. And that's what they kept doing with him. They even went to the guy's parents and was badgering them, and they were afraid to say anything because they didn't want to lose their position. Let's just put it in modern terms. Let me tell it from modern terms. They didn't want to lose their position as deacon or elder or praise leader or preacher or teacher or whatever they were doing. They didn't want to lose their position in the church, so they wouldn't say anything to rock the boat. They said, "He's old enough. That's why I know that he heard the story." They said, "He's old enough. Go talk to him yourself. He can answer for himself." So I know that he was old enough to have heard the story of Jesus. So they went back to him a second time. And they said, "That man's a sinner." Talking about Jesus. Jesus is a sinner. This man said, "I don't know whether he's a sinner or not." I don't know who he is. I don't know his genealogy. I don't know his theology, his philosophy. I don't know anything about him, but all I know is this man named Jesus come walking by, and I had sat there the entirety of my life, and I had to beg for bread every day. I had sat there the entirety of my life, and I've never seen anything, and this man named Jesus come by and touched me, and now I see. I don't know if he's a sinner. I don't know if he's a saint. I don't know if he's good or bad, how old he is or where he come from, but he touched me and now I see. He had to receive what God had for him, and then he had to acknowledge Jesus for who he was. But then there was one more thing he had to do. Down in verse 38. And actually, I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to go back to verse 35. Because here's what happened. When this young man started confessing Christ and he refused to backslide, he refused to go back to his former state, they kicked him out. I don't know if they just kicked him out of the synagogue. I assume they kicked him out of home, synagogue, and everything. He lost everything that was important to him. He lost his family. He lost his community. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, is how it's put in verse 35. And he went looking for him. He said unto him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And I find this so remarkable. See, I told you, he said he didn't really know who Jesus was. He just knew he had touched him. Do you remember when you were at that place in your Christian walk? I remember. I thought I knew who Jesus was, but I really didn't, because I hadn't developed a relationship. I hadn't cultivated spiritual disciplines to read and to pray and to do these things and to learn to be sensitive to the Spirit. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. I believe this man was the same way. Matter of fact, you can read the text and you can kind of see that. He said he didn't know if he was a sinner. Well, my goodness. I even knew that much when I got saved, I believe, maybe. So he didn't really know. And he told him, he told Jesus that. Jesus is standing in front of him and saying, "Do you believe the Son of God?" And he said, "I don't know. Who he is? Who is he?" We were all there at one point. We didn't know who he was. We didn't know him. We knew who he was, but we didn't know him. And he said, "I don't know who he is. Tell me who he is so I might believe on him." Jesus told him, "You've both seen him, and it is he that is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." He found his victory in Jesus that day. He found his victory in Jesus when Jesus passed by. He heard the old story. He heard these things that built his faith year after year after year after year. He heard the stories that let him know that Jesus had power over everything that might be wrong or everything that he might need. And even when he is rejected by his family, and even when he's rejected by community, he had already heard the old story about how Jesus is the one that fed the multitudes with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, how he had turned water into wine, how he had called a community together out of nothing to be able to build this Christian church that was coming about. Everything he needed to know, he had already heard, so that he could accept his miracle and walk in it without worry. He found victory in Jesus, and he simply worshiped. That's the rest of that verse. He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. I don't know what you may or may not need. I don't know what part of the story you need to know to build your faith. But what I know is that every story from the book of John up to that point demonstrates Jesus' power and control over everything. over the small things, over the big things, over the natural things, over the supernatural things, over nature because He created it, and over life and death because He is the life of men. He is the light, and that light is the life. Everything in that story tells you everything you need to know, that no matter what is going on, you can find victory in Jesus tonight. You've heard the story. Jesus is passing by. What do you need? Here's how I think I want to, I don't know if y'all are going to sing or she's going to play something. It doesn't really matter. Just as long as we have something. I'm not going to do a traditional altar call, I don't think. If you want prayer, if you want someone to agree in prayer with you, come. And we will pray with you. We will pray for you. And I believe that Jesus is passing by and He's here tonight to answer whatever the need may be. But I think we just need to worship. You can worship there. You can come up into the altars and worship. But what I know is once He received, He acknowledged, and then He worshiped.